Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. Glad to see you here. Glad that we have our time together and that it's become precious to us. And now that it's going to move forward from that, even better. I'm thrilled. But before I begin, I want to make the point that I really appreciate the elders and the decisions. I know that what you're looking at, I know that there is the physical side of things of which we want no one to become sick, especially those that are frail. And at the same time, there's the spiritual man who is trying to grow, and that we remain faithful that life, this life, does not mean more than our eternal life. And so to make a decision like this for others is a very, very difficult decision. And so thank you for your thoughts and for the discussion that led to your decisions. And I say that. At the same time, Larry, if you would clarify, no, are we starting next Sunday with Sunday morning? And Sunday morning starts next Sunday, and Wednesday is on the 8th. Okay, that's correct. All right. Just Sunday morning will be just worship. Okay. There was just a little bit of that with me. Okay. So anyway. So this morning we're talking about the idea of what it means to believe. And I have done my best not to make this something that you've heard before, even though there's elements of that. I'm asking you about your belief, your personal belief in God, and what does that mean, and how did you achieve it, and where are you going to go with it as you grow in Christ? And so there's that idea. And then I used, of course, one of the most common passages that we have, speaking of John, beginning in John 3:16, which so very often we stop there and we don't listen to the rest of it. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And yes, there is an absolute in that aspect. And yet as we move forward, there is a modifier to this passage, which says, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And I want to make that point is for a time, he was in the world for a time, but he is coming again to judge the world, and that we need to remember that. Okay, and so he who believes in him then is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than the light. For their deeds were evil, and for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Now then there is a sense in this in which every one of us has to measure, am I a believer, then one that is in the light that would expose my own sin rather than lose my soul? Would I do that? Would you do that? Because that's the difference. Those that practice evil, and sin is evil, and so all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If that's the case, then when I do evil, that I would and will confess my sin, that even you might know. Now, where my forgiveness really matters is going to be with God, that God agrees. But that I'm not ashamed of the fact that I have made mistakes, but that I correct my mistakes. And we'll look at those things as we go forward in this discussion, because we are going to look at repentance, and of course our Wednesday class is about repentance, and so we have that. Now then, last week we were talking about the idea of what do you hear, and how do you hear, and what does that mean, and that we looked at the commands designated over time, that the alien sinner, okay, that in reality to hear doesn't belong to the alien sinner. It belongs to the Christian who would hear. The commands of God are not for those who don't hear, that they prefer darkness to light. No. The commands of God are for those who do hear and intend to do what God says do. You see? And so we were talking about that idea. And then therefore how we hear has a direct effect on how we think and act. And so if I am listening as if God has spoken and that He has spoken to me, I then measure my life accordingly and it causes some change. So that we come to accept the authority of God over me. That whatever my natural tendencies may be of how I will act and be will go by the wayside according to what God says if He tells me to be or do something different. That we also accept all that God says and not just the parts that are easy for me. But Satan is out there shifting meanings and by a deceitful way to capture you. And I want us to understand that we're susceptible to Satan. That he knows how to go about capturing people. Okay, and so first I need to be sure that what it says, that I understand the meaning as it was meant to be understood. And that I must test the spirits to see if that works among men and on the earth and in my own soul. And then I must evaluate my thinking, my actions on a very regular basis. Because it's very easy to be something I never intended to be by emphasis. And we've talked about that to some degree. Faith comes by hearing the word, and the only person I can hear for is me. You cannot hear for someone else. And for those that would listen and think that the lesson belongs to someone else, you need to think again when you're listening about how are you listening. And the only thing that I can do for others that maybe do not seem to hear what God says is to encourage them. And then I'm responsible for hearing God's message as to my attitudes as well as my actions. And then there is a manner of treating others that goes along with hearing God. And so our faith demands that we stand for the truth of God. By what we say, of course, because it's as of the oracles of God, but also in the manner of how we say it, because God spoke to that too. There is a manner about a Christian that is to be maintained. So it is about the truth of the gospel itself and what it says and the manner of which it is presented. And then I make that point from hearing, and then today is I'm making the point to make this point. To believe is no simple matter. Oh yeah, you can, well I believe this and I believe that and I can accept things on a superficial basis. I can act like it doesn't really apply in an eternal sense. I'm going to work on that. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I struggle with is I'm working on it. And I wonder what that means sometimes. What does working on do? Are you actively working, meaning that I'm moving toward gaining a better understanding and a better set of actions and all those types of things? I'm working on it means that I am improving myself, or I understand that I need to work on it and I've got mental assent, but I don't have any effort toward what God would have me be. And therefore, I question, do you believe? Thing got serious and we ain't even got into the lesson yet, you know? So anyway, all right, so a couple of quick passages. But though he had performed many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. There are many people who think that because Jesus performed miracles, that everyone who saw that miracle believed. No, they didn't. There were many who thought that a magician had worked his magic, you see. And in John 3:18, that he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is from our scripture reading. Those that believe will not be judged. Do you know why? Because you've already heard what God said. And I believed what God said. And I made the changes that God would have me make. where I no longer look like I am one of the world, I now look like someone who is not of this world, who acts in a way that the other men don't act, that is different. And we talk about those differences, you know, in items sometimes, but I really want us to understand, in a room that would have this many people, how it shows itself is going to be different in every one of us in a certain way. But the driving force will be the same. And so, with those being the case, we then choose to believe in Jesus. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom he sent. Now, do I believe that Jesus is from God? Becomes the very first question. Do I believe that he really is the Son of God? Those types of things. And you see, in New Testament times, they didn't. There were others that were claiming to be the Christ. They wanted position and they wanted to gain status. And in the process of doing that, they would, and to some degree, because isn't it funny how everyone who says anything can find a follower that says, oh yeah, I agree with that. Even the dumbest stuff, we can find a follower. Well, there were followers that follow, and then there are those who choose who to follow. And obviously, they understood something. And so, we may choose to believe in Jesus and then not keep his words, which, having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Now, I've just had been reminded of that. I was on the internet, and when I choose pictures and that sort of thing, I go onto a site with an idea. And then many times there's phraseologies, you know, little quotes that people have made about different things. And one of the ones that was resounding to me this week was that a believer and a disciple are not the same thing. Now, I don't know about you, I've never thought that if you're a believer, you are a disciple. That those are interchangeable. If I believe, then my belief would lead me to do the things that God would have me do, meaning fulfilling this passage, that we obey. It is not simply that I believe there is a God and that Jesus is the Son of God, but that I am going to obey the things that Jesus says, and in that point, then I distinguish myself as one, a believer, but also as a disciple. So, what does it mean to believe? In this sense, we have to go and take a look at it. And so, the word, as you can see, is from the Greek. And is to think, to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit or place confidence in. Okay, that I have confidence, full confidence, in the thing that I believe. Okay, the idea of the thing believed, to credit to the source, you see, and have confidence, or in moral and religious references, to be used in the New Testament of the conviction and trust to which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative and law of the soul. In other words, I have chosen to believe what I read. That's to trust in Jesus or God as able to aid either into obtaining or in doing something, as in a saving faith, or to entrust a thing to one and his fidelity to be entrusted with a thing. And we see the aspects of it, that my belief also makes me responsible for the message. So if I believe that let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth except what's good for edification, that is, if you don't have something good to say, don't say it. If I believe in that, and I believe in God, then there will be a change in the way I used to speak and the way I speak now. Because if I've got something that's not nice to say, I just don't say it. Now that would be believing. Now, I want you to know We're not perfect individuals. And so if I do that 90% of the time, when I used to do it 50% of the time, how good am I? Do you understand? We play games with our, in our own heads. I do pretty good. I do real good unless this happens. And if that happens, I just can't help myself. Really? Is that what God said? That we are to let no unwholesome word proceed unless you hit that one thing that you really can't stand, and then you can say whatever you want. That's not what God said. That's what I say. By the way, let me apologize. I don't remember what I said exactly, but I used the term ding-dong as to reference someone's thinking that is less than mine not too long ago. And is that not exactly what we're talking about? That even though I understand the difference, that I'm going to say, here is one idea and here's another idea, and in the contrast, I just can't seem to help myself. That, you're ding-dong if you thought that way. Really? We have to be very careful. Now we know that from Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I have never seen God. And so my faith says that there is a God, and we recognize it. And it says in verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, when you go and you start emphasizing words, which is what I just did by underlining one word in this sentence, okay, how diligently must we seek Him? Becomes a very real question. How important is what God says to you? And if you want to build your faith and you understand those kinds of things, then I must come to a place then where my persuasion is more than a come see, come saw kind of thing, but instead becomes a dedication toward who I'm going to be. I am not going to take the Lord's name in vain. And there's so many who think that we're talking about curse words there, but as was pointed out to me early as a Christian, the words gosh those types of words are just euphemisms for taking God's name in vain. Don't do that. And therefore, I don't use those words anymore, and for a very good reason, because I think they were right in their designation. Okay, and yet, our seeking God then must be diligent. Changing your vocabulary is no easy thing to do. And yet if we're going to do that, we must. And so when based on faith, and I start looking at men who have done the extraordinary things that they've done, and I think of Abraham or Noah or Moses, what did they accomplish by faith? By holding to what the Lord would say versus holding to what men are going to say and what they did. They saw beyond this life into another place. And because they believed in the other place, I will change who I'm going to be in this place. And that's what they did. They straightened themselves, I guess would be the way to put it. And so, how do I do that? See, what must I believe then to straighten myself? Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. There's a place where I struggle. And I don't think that I'm alone in this. That what I struggle in is that I understand this. Do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say resoundingly yes. And then I'm going to say, that I am unshakable in that. But that's not really what this is saying, is it? It's not that you admit who He is, that He is the Son of God and that God of heaven, the invisible God that created all things, and that and His Son who has embodied our, taken our body and form and come to the earth, that He is the Son of God, that what was in that man was the same stuff that's in God of heaven, and that He could do anything, He could change nature if He wanted to, He could heal, He could raise the dead, He can still the wind and the waves, He can do all those kinds of things. Yes, He can. And so do I believe He's got the stuff of the Father in Him? I do, and I am unshakable in that. But what this is saying, unless you believe that I am He, the Messiah that has been the one that is going to reconcile sin and God, that is the one that is going to come, and that by His own sacrifice and teaching that He is going to take away the penalty of sin, for the wages of sin is death, and exchange that for forgiveness of sins if you belong to Me. But if you belong to Me is based in a faith that is not just simply, oh, I believe, and I don't have to do anything. I believe, but I don't have to change anything. I believe, but I don't have to consider who my Father is, who my Master is, and who I must be in accordance to that. That's what a believer is. And you see, we say we believe, and we excuse ourselves from the responsibility of that belief. And that's what He's saying here. That unless you believe that I am He, and that My word means something, that My commands mean something, then you will die in your sin. That's what He's saying. Now let me reference business for just a second. I told you that when I was in business, my typical manner was to ask you to do something. So, John, would you mind emptying those buckets when you're through with what you're doing? Thank you. And I'd walk away. And sure enough, I had some folks that didn't think that that was authoritative enough. I didn't command him to do that. I asked him to do that. And so they wouldn't do it. And then I would come back, son, you know, when I asked you to empty those buckets, I said, well, you know, based on who I am as the manager of the store and that sort of thing, I meant for you to do that, John. And so, would you please do that for me? Thank you. I have multi-levels on that, on the voice. And the voice gets sharper as you quit, if you don't recognize the authority of what I'm doing and what I'm asking, and I expect it to be done and in a timely manner, blah, 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 blah. You understand that that's what's going on. Jesus, who says things like this, is making a statement that is got power behind it. He's not just talking. He is making, if you are going to follow Me, okay, that you will die in your sins unless you start getting with it. Now, I'm not talking about trying, oh, I'm working on it, meaning that I have the mental of sin, I need to change something, but I'm not going to do anything about it today. And so, when He makes those kinds of statements, then we have this thing. Jesus answers, I told you, and you do not believe, that the works I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. But you do not believe because you are not of My sheep. And I said to you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. Now, what is the identifier of being then one of Jesus' followers, disciples, or believers, is that you will follow His commands and His attitudes. John 14:15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. love and commandment keeping are equated. And so there is no dismissing what God said. There is no acting as if He didn't speak and that He loves me anyway. No. It is a command that we understand that the God of heaven, who's created all things, has required of those who would call themselves believers that you must be about His business, and His business includes some specifics. So, in Mark, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So now we know where to go to find our information. It's going to be in the New Testament gospel. And there's a lot of things said there. I know that. All right. I've said enough that you get my first premise, which is that belief is not for the alien sinner. The alien sinner who has never come to Jesus is not required to be all about God's business when he doesn't believe in it. What separates you from one of those people is your belief that you're not doing this because I want a reward. I'm doing this because of the love of God. I love Him because He loved me. Because of what He has done for me and set the example for me, I am going to try to follow Him to be like unto Him. And I realize I have a mountain of things to change. I understand that. And so, this is about who are you going to be and who you're going to be every day. And so, do you believe then that God sustains you? Do we? That my physical self is sustained by God's power and might. That my spiritual self is sustained by God's power and might. Do you believe that? And those are the things that we do. Do you believe that He watches you and that He really knows? That that not a sparrow falls to the ground that He doesn't know that it fell? Do you think that He knows what's going on in your head? I think so. I think that was the implication of it, that He is watching you to see what's in your heart. And if you love me, you will act like you love me. You will have sorrow over your sin. You will have repentance over your sin. And I will call you mine and I will remember your sins no more. But if you go ahead and keep on doing what you do and that you don't care what I think about it, do you understand who's the believer and who is not? And when we use the word faithful then, faithful becomes someone that cares from here. Do you think He knows everything? That He knows all things? I do. Do you believe that He can change you? I believe that He can, but it's not going to be against your will. It's going to be because you will it. So what are the works of God? John 6:29 says that God's work is that you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you conform to that form of teaching that Jesus died for? Are you obedient? Are you about to build an ark or give your son for the sake of God? Are you willing? And you see my point. You see my point. So what I believe today comes down to what will I do in the name of the Lord today? What will you give up of yourself for the sake of God's purpose? You see, is really the kind of ideas that we're talking about. And what will you do? Will you give convenient service? Yes, I will come to services and worship and say that I'm remembering God and those types of things. But I want us to understand it's really not about what we do here. It's about what you do when you go out those doors. Who are you going to be as a representative of the Christ when you go out of these doors? Are you one of His or are you still an entity unto yourself? And those things are going on. Okay, would you give the very costly gift of your son? Of which Abraham did. Would you die for Christ? And I'm telling you, we never know those things until we really get there. But if we won't do the little things in Christ, I don't think we're going to do the big things in Christ. And so, serving God is about being filled up with belief. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." As you give thought to this, I'm generally not a commentator guy too very often, but Adam Clark's got some points on this one that I thought are worthy of hearing. He makes this statement: that you may acknowledge, approve, and publicly acknowledge the love of God, which surpasses knowledge. We can acknowledge and approve of that which surpasses our comprehension. We cannot comprehend God, yet we know that He is, approve of, love, adore, and serve Him in like manner, though we cannot comprehend the immensity of the love of Christ. Yet we know that He has loved us and washed us from our sins and in His own blood, and we approve of and acknowledge Him as our only Lord and Savior, and in this sense we may be said to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. You see, that we appreciate what's been done is really what's being said that way. Now then, he goes on, he says, but more than likely the word that it's coming from, nousis is what, which translate knowledge, signifies here science in general, and particularly that science of which the rabbis boasted and that in the which the Greeks greatly exulted, that the former professed to have the key of knowledge, the secret of all divine mysteries, the latter considered their philosophers and their systems of philosophy superior to everything that had ever been known among men, and reputed on this account that all other nations were barbarians. I've got the knowledge of God, the Jews would say, but so did, sorry, I'm not there yet. Okay, I've got the knowledge of God now, and that I have the philosophy of life that is the best philosophy that man has ever heard. We have the smartest people ever now, and that they're out tooting their own horn in a certain way. And in the doing of that, you see, we have the knowledge that all other nations should come to. When the apostle prays that we may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, he may refer to all the boasted knowledge of the Jewish doctors and to all the greatly extolled science of the Greek philosophers. But to know the love of Christ infinitely surpasses all other science. This gives a clear and satisfactory sense to understand what God really meant by that. Going on, it says, by the fullness of God that we are to understand all those gifts and graces which He has promised to bestow on man and which He dispenses to the church. To be filled with the fullness of God is to have the whole soul filled with meekness, gentleness, goodness, love, justice, holiness, mercy, and truth. And as what God fills, neither sin nor Satan can fill. Consequently, it implies that the soul shall be emptied of sin, that sin shall neither have dominion over it, nor being in it. It is impossible for us to understand these words in a lower sense than this. As there is no end to the merits of Christ, no bounds to the mercy and love of God, no limits to the improvability of the human soul, so there can be no bounds set to the saving influence which God will dispense to the heart of every believer. We may ask and we shall receive, and our joy shall be full, but you must be seeking it. So when you study, I'm asking you that question. I'm really I'm going to use it on the very passage we're talking about and the thinking we're talking about. What does it mean in Ephesians 3:19? And as I go home to contemplate that for myself, to what level does God bestow on me all the things that would be called love? What form did they take, and what attitude does it bring, and all the things that would go along those lines? I need to contemplate that stuff, and I do. And depending on who I am and your own sense of being, whether you are still in selfish modes or whether you've become more compassionate, whatever that is, it's still too big for you to understand in the complete sense. For whatever I may do and understand now, there's more in Christ. I am reduced to being a child, even though I've been studying for years. We understand. My choice then is to be a slave of God. Then I'm not going to try to do the thinking. I'm going to accept my master's will and reflect what he would have me be and say. That's who I'm going to be. That I'm learning, but I can never learn enough. And so what I'm left with is trust. Complete trust. So now, each new day is a blank page in the diary of your life. The secret of success is in turning that diary into the very best story that you can imagine because of who you believe in. So when I ask these questions, what does it mean to be filled up then? Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence, into your moral excellence knowledge, into your knowledge self-control, and your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So now then, I would ask that question. Here's the bottom line, because all of us that are younger, the only way I get those kind of compliments is if I say them, okay? All of us that are younger, so Lawrence, who's 85, just had his birthday, okay? He's 85. And it says that you are to be adding to your faith knowledge and all these different things. And if they are increasing, you are not useless and you're not unfruitful because of the knowledge of the Lord. And if you are not increasing, what it says is basically the backhand of that is that then you have missed and are losing faith rather than gaining it. That faith drives action. And that I be better than I was. And so, whoever the oldest of us is, are they still showing faith? This is what the elders are concerned with about Corona. Is that they are faithful to the point that if we open the doors, they're going to be here. And I won't say laugh, but I ignore the risk. Why? Because my spiritual man is stronger than my physical man. And there's no one that knows that than those who are getting older when our physical self is not holding up like it used to. Who do you depend on now? What do you depend on now? And they depend on their faith. So, our growth in the areas are in areas other than knowledge. I am to grow into the knowledge of Christ, but then they show themselves in our moral excellence and in all the things, our self-control, our perseverance, our godliness, and our care for one another. Our lack of growth shows forgetfulness. So what are the results? People don't change. Their priorities do. What's important to you? What is really top of the list important to you? And yes, everyone in the room can quote to me Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things of life are going to be added to you. And you know that, and I know that. And is that just words? Or is that seriously real? Because you're declaring what you believe. And so we believe in the words of Jesus. In them are life, and in them are the light. And then our light is to shine. I want us to believe that our light is a reflected light. It's not something that we generate. It is something that we reflect from who we have been considering, and those things that our actions are to emulate our belief, shown by genuine love, that our actions are going to be approved by God, and that our adherence is constant, both in law and in manner. I would really like to say that's the way the world, the religious world, is working. But no, we'd rather fight and say my thinking is better than yours than we will about dealing with self and pointing the finger this way instead of that way. So, we're bound to believe until death. Revelations 3:12, He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar of the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And my new name, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so, each of the churches of Asia are required to remain faithful to the end. What we believe has to be our core value. And then we've got to act on what we believe, and that we will not compromise, nor turn from, or change those beliefs. No form of tribulation will alter my loyalty to the truth. And so, I ask, are you a believer? When I put it in these terms, I wonder about our confidence. And I should have confidence, because the Lord has told me that if I will but believe, that He will save me. And I believe that. And yet, as I take this apart and consider the passages we've looked at, I struggle with my inconsistency. I struggle with the number of times that I let God slip away from the forefronts of my mind. And so I ask you where you are in your faith. And I'm not just asking whether you believe or not, or even a matter of how much. Do you believe to the point of change? That's the point I'm asking. That you would change yourself, change an aspect of yourself or all of yourself for the sake and cause of God. Would I study more to refine my knowledge and my actions? And then upon understanding, will I act? Meaning that I'm going to practice the very things that I think there should be. And so, what's going to change us? What would change you? What would change a viewpoint? What would change your manner? What would change anything that is within you? And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be the belief that you have that through God's help, I can. I'm reminded of Philippians 4 when Paul makes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know how to abound with much, and I know how to abound with little. I know how to be restrained, and I know how to go forth. If you're not a Christian, become one. Because you will never get this kind of guidance anywhere else. And if we are baptized believers that have done and exceeded to what God told us to do at the very beginning, and yet I've become slothful or not as dedicated, or don't just sit and let that continue. Act. Whether that's to talk to an individual or whatever, or to confess to this group, if we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?